Maybe rope friend, maybe just close that door.
Sure.
That release.
Not Will Claw.
Will.
Is it what?
Oh, perfect.
It's Will. It's Whitlow. Is it Will? Hi,
Will.
It's W-I-L. Hey, L-L-O-W.
Watch this. Okay,
great. I think I know.
Okay,
we'll call orchards.
Two elves?
So.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call this meeting of the board.
I think we have to leave that open until we go into executive session.
Yeah, this is.
Two elves. Two elves. Wilk Blow.
God, I've been spelling it wrong all these years. Those people.
Can you just do a roll call?
Sure. Gregory Simpson.
Present.
Herb Litz.
Here.
Brian Cahill.
Here.
Megan Sperry.
Here.
Ward Todd.
Here.
Najla Elias. Christopher Cerrone.
Can we move to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approval of the minutes for September 23rd. Can I get a motion?
I do have some. What was eliminated?
Okay.
During the discussion of new business, the proposal for the Novo Foundation, I had voiced some concern I had with regards to some of the prices of the amenities that are being applied for. And that discussion does not show up in the minutes at all.
Would you like to propose language there specifically? To include.
Sure. Herb Litz raised concern about the cost of some of the listed items for which the Novo Foundation was going to be asked to supply the monies for.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Good. Okay. Right. The motion on the table, and there's an amendment. Is the board willing to accept the amendment?
I'll make a motion to accept the
You can make. I will second the a motion to accept as amended.
Thank you so much. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And motion to accept with corrections. Right. Are we on to officer's report? All right.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is my first presentation to the board, and I'm very excited. Unfortunately, Amanda's not with us. She's away traveling, and I think she's in India right now.
I know she said she was going to Africa.
And this is going to Africa, Oman. So you have me. But I mean, there's a couple of items certainly I would like to cover. And some of these are administrative, right? First of all, it's discussion around the sole member meeting and annual. Typically, we have these meetings 6 months after the fiscal year. It so happens in 2024. We did have a meeting in February where the directors were appointed, and Jen did give her overview. I'm recommending that, you know, we look into 2025 to have the sole member meeting again in conjunction with the annual meeting as well. Because I think having the annual meeting will give us enough runway to talk about all the things we're going to do in 2025 and give you an update in terms of some of the programs that are going to be initiated in 2025 at the annual report meeting. Mm-hmm. So that looks like that'll be 6 months after the end of the fiscal year. So we're looking at May, June-ish. All right.
Is it a requirement for us to have the sole member meeting once a year?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the sole member meeting, but we has to be much earlier than the annual meeting because you need a board.
Yeah, it was late because we didn't have the audit report, and it was in February.
So we did have a sole member meeting in February.
So just so I'm clear on what you're proposing is that we have the meeting, the sole member meeting in February?
No, in 2025, 6 months after the end of fiscal year. So that would be June or May.
So just pointing out, the bylaws say the member shall hold an annual meeting of the members within 6 months.
So we're looking
before
at, yeah, May.
So Greg started to ask the question, I think, though, about the appointment of board members. We're like, usually at the start of the year, in this case, it would be in
right,
June.
Right, whatever. Exactly.
So if it's in June.
Or May.
May. Yeah. May. Lindsay, is that okay for the board members?
Although
what does it mean? Okay, because what I'm confused about is whether or not board members would have status in May if we're not appointed in February. Because as far how when do all the board members need to be?
And I think,
just you understand the point?
Past years, if there's a change in the legislature, you guys get appointed in January as head of the Economic Development Committee and the deputy chair. And that's usually when you'll take a seat on USEDA, probably in January.
So that's true. And then the bylaws also provide that each director will serve for a 1 year term or until his or her successor has been appointed.
Okay.
The second item regarding
can I just raise one real quick point? We have to make sure that it's scheduled after the legislative session, though, because that's when the committee chairs are actually appointed, right? During the legislative session of January.
Yeah. So
that's an organizational meeting. So it must be after the organizational meeting of the county legislature of the year,
which would normally be in February. It seems.
No, they do it in January, right? Early January.
No, the legislative session, that part is done in January, and then you see that it's done in February.
Right. I just want to make sure that that's fully understood. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. The second item, and again, this is more information. Typically, we have an annual budget, right? So what I'm proposing is by next meeting to have a budget in front of it that really talks about expenditures and revenues. And more importantly, this is for me and for the board, as well as for the Department of Economic Development. Typically, we've had a professional service agreement between USEDA and the department. The last agreement was back in 2018. So we really need to update this agreement to kind of reflect some of the administrative duties that are being undertaken by the Economic Development Department. And how do we fund some of the work that USEDA should be doing, or what we should think about doing in terms of our mission as it's outlined around marketing, around technical assistance, and also working with stakeholders. So at our next meeting, I'm going to propose a budget. But in addition to that, I would like maybe for the board members to meet separately. I mean, we should all meet together to talk about strategy, the things that we should be doing as an organization, and how do we do that, how do we accomplish that. And part of that involves also understanding what the budget is, because we don't have money to undertake things, and it's pretty much useless to enact some of these initiatives. But nevertheless, what I'm proposing in OED is $25,000 to be used in season for marketing, which is part of our mission. So in addition to that, we have about $1.4 million in the revolving loan fund. Those monies are going to be reserved and designated for loans, particularly for businesses in Ulster County. I should say wholeheartedly, businesses in Ulster County. We're about 90% there in getting the fund up and going. The last remaining thing we need to do is develop a portal. Right now, you can actually go to Rocket Mortgage and get a loan in 30 minutes. And under our old system, it took us close to 3 months. As I mentioned before, I've been meeting with banks. We're going to be doing co-lending, but we'll also have a loan loss reserve fund, which means we'll de-risk some of these loans by providing the reserve. And the banks are very happy because they would like to penetrate more with Main Street businesses. So that's kind of the next step. We're about 90% there, and I'm hoping to have this up and running by the end of the year. And again, that's working in cohort with BC there as well as economic development department.
So just to be clear, first, and then you're talking about the professional services agreement as one piece. The other piece is the marketing, 25K. You're asking the board to approve that, or is that already in the budget?
No, this is just all information, because what we're going to need to approve is the professional service agreement once it's drafted. Just kind of thinking about the things we need to do administratively before we really enact a strategy around how we work together. Mm-hmm. And the last one that was done was in 2018. Again, the revolving loan PSA, that I think I kind of talked about that, because that enables us to be more tactical as we start, you know, working around what are the rules of engagement in terms of administrative responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, I mean, I think, and I'm glad Sam is here. Many of you probably don't know, tomorrow's the last day. And
no.
Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm.
And Sam has really been kind of the epicenter in terms of doing this administrative work and making it clear that, you know, how important it is that our two departments kind of work in conjunction. So thank you, Sam.
Who approved that?
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. It was an honor to work with all of you.
On to a bigger, better job.
Yes.
But congratulations.
Thank Absolutely. You.
Yeah. Well, we just don't call you up, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Brad's got my number.
That has been the going question. Can we still call you?
Yes. You know.
That's sad. IPARC updates. We're still in negotiations with the SUNYs around the master lease. Subletting provisions, obviously. We met with them last week. They were at the IPARC meeting that we had. And there's really no update there, but, you know, hopefully by next meeting, we'll have a little more detail of where we stand with the SUNYs. But right now, SUNY Central is very concerned about the common areas. And I think we discussed this in the last meeting.
SUNY New Paltz?
New Paltz, but it's really central where the council and the attorneys are overlooking this, the lease and the master lease. So hopefully we'll, you know, have that resolved by the next meeting. And we're having bi-weekly meetings with the architect as well as with SUNYs and our personal architect. So all right. Lot 600. Interesting. I took a tour of it about a week ago. I don't know if you have this in your packets, but I think Fran, you have copies.
Sent them out.
Yeah. I think no. Yeah,
sure.
I mean, as we talked about in the last meeting, National Resources has put forward a proposal, and this is not really related to remediation work around this, but I thought by looking at these pictures, we can get a better idea of what's happening, you know, at Lot 600 on the power station. And I have to tell you, quite frankly, I was really surprised at all the work, remediation of it's, and you can just see by these pictures. I mean, page one, you can see in the basement that's flooded, and you can,
how deep?
I didn't jump into
what do you get?
I mean, I would
six
say
inches probably, or 6 feet,
I would say probably about 2 to 3 feet.
Wow,
because it comes up to the exit,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there is,
yeah, but you can also see the oil slick in there as well,
yeah.
I mean, we don't really know what type of contaminants are in there. You can see the stairwell to the basement. I mean, paint chipping, I don't know if that's lead, but it's really in bad shape. And you can turn on the other table and see the main floor. But I just thought, for those of you who haven't visited or toured the power station, just to kind of get a bird's eye view of what it really looks like. I mean, I have other pictures that I can certainly share with you, but this is a real serious problem, and we're negotiating with National Resources on how to remediate this. no information at this meeting, but I would like, I would say that, you know, I've been talking to the state and how we can provide support around remediating or looking at ways to assist national resources in terms of dealing with this issue. As it relates to the other matter around the switching gear, National Resources is in negotiations with Kingston Realty in terms of looking around and resolving that problem. We haven't heard from the town of Ulster in terms of, you know, their concerns as it relates to the generator still being run, you know, in the back with Kingston Realty and that property. But we're hoping over the next few weeks to get some resolved. I did speak with National Resources today, and they did say they are in negotiations with Kingston Realty, so they're pretty close to getting something done. It's really around cost, and I don't know the specifics, but initially they were quoted at $92,000, National Resources, that was their quote. And there is another quote out there being floated by Kingston Realty, which is around $47,000. So wherever they can meet in the middle to get this done, that's where they're negotiating right now.
Are the boilers operational?
No, that's all going to be recycled.
So Basically, the only thing that we need operational is a switchgear.
Yeah. And that's where the real issue is, because National Resources has to spend, obviously, you know, months to get it back up and running, but they're looking at fire suppression equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
In case there's an overload. That's what happened with this particular incident. So I'm hoping, or we're hoping, over the next 2 weeks, with the town of Ulster providing them some flexibility, that this will get done, you know, properly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sorry about the shock treatment with the pictures, but I think it's very clear that this site is a real sore right now, and it's something that we're going to have to address. And as I mentioned, I've been talking with the state to see how we can support National Resources and, you know, getting some work done. All right.
Can I ask a question about that real quick?
Yeah, certainly.
So are you Kevin, during these negotiations, are you looking from some authority from the board to represent USITA during these negotiations, or are we not going to be a party to it when it comes to anything that would, you know, require a board vote at this point?
Brian, it's a good question. I think we should stay out of it. I mean, right now it's really in the management agreement, it's really National Resources responsibility. So they're working with Kingston Realty. Us getting in the middle of it would just make it a little more messier in my estimation. But the real big issue for me right now is, how do we get rid of Lot 600 under the PSA?
Exactly.
National Resources responsibility, because according to them, they're saying it's underwater. I mean, no pun intended, but it's underwater in terms of what the remediation is going to cost to clean it up.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that at all.
Right. So I'm trying to assist them in identifying resources that can kind of support them and doing some of this work.
The other question I would have, and I asked this question, I think, last month and a month before, are any of the other buildings on the, what I'll say, the west side of the driveway there from the Kingston Realty Group, are any of the buildings on the west side controlled by that power, or are they all separate to the east campus that we sold them?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but it's my assumption just everything on the east side in the back lots are supported by the power station.
Right. And there's those two buildings that are occupied there that would be my concern, the building 5 north and south there, you know, that are really viable buildings that are, you know, operational. And if they're running off generators too, that would be a concern for me, you know, overall for the major development plan there. Yeah. Well, okay.
Thank you. Building 5 was the building that caused the problem in terms of a fire. So.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yes. Thank you.
Have we gotten an assessed evaluation for Lot 6 from you?
Not that I know. I can verify that for you.
Because obviously it's worth something.
Yep.
Obviously it's partially flooded. Obviously there's a problem with the switchgear, which is all going to affect the sale price. So we probably should have an assessment.
Okay. The estimate is a range, right? Anywhere from 1.5 to 2 million. And that's coming from two proposals to clean it up. So we were going to sell it to them for 300K. Right. Okay.
But that's not an assess truck.
No, but it's still. I'm not going to look at recyclable or recovery values right now, but I would think it's underwater. Moving on. I think that's it for me in terms of my CEO report. Any questions?
Board have any other questions? So, Chris?
Okay, so I was able to get 2 months of financials done this round for July and August. The more material transactions happened in July, paying off the Harris Beach invoices, the Bonadio, and then the audit firm EFPR. That was about $18,000 that we spent in July. There was interest income that we earned for both months, both about $500 for June and July each. So there's that. We have 2 remaining outstanding loans, one for Fruition and one for Pika's. We did follow up with Pika's. Or was it Fruition? And Fruition. Okay. Yep. That's what we were asked to do. So that did happen. And it looks like Fruition doesn't want to pay it off.
I mean, they're getting 4.5% right now on their loan, and they're under some financial pressure, cocoa prices, mm-hmm. retail, and to pay off their $14,000, I believe it is, would really be difficult for us like that. Mm-hmm. And Pico is in good standing too, but you know, you look at the rates compared to where they are now, you're not going to get a better deal. And to accelerate payment would probably not make sense for them in terms of their obligations.
Right. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the findings from the audit, the 2023 audit. It did go down from 3 in 2022 to 2 in 23. So that's good. The findings that they did find were mainly repeat findings. One was about accrual basis adjustments, which they said was due to the bigger unusual transactions that were recorded in early 2023 with the selling of properties. And they said those were maybe the accounting was done not the best way that they would have hoped. Shouldn't be a problem in 2024, partly because Bonadio was helping out with everything and then nothing that major happened as it did in early 2023. The other finding they had was, it's going to be a little bit tougher because they were basically talking about segregation of duties, which is a little tough with an organization this size with the number of employees that we do have. Basically, what happens is Amanda would sign off on, there would be a form for transfers, bank transfers, that Amanda would sign off on, but then she'd also initiate the transfer. What they would like is someone that approves it and then a different person that initiates it. I'm not sure how easy that would be to resolve, but that would resolve the issue. The other one I did talk about was the material transactions that should not happen in 2024. So hopefully, knock on wood, we'll have a much better audit in 2024.
If I can just add, Chris, we added 2 authorized signatures on the account.
Yeah, I was going to bring that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gregory, myself, and more time still on. So that gives us
more segregation of duties, more eyes on it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Is Amanda still going to be doing?
Yes.
Okay, great. So that should resolve it. One other thing that I didn't talk about that they did recommend was they wanted approval on the journal entries that I do. Historically, the CFO has just been doing them themselves, and I don't think they've really been reviewed. We should probably get some kind of form in place that, like, every month, the number of journal entries that were done, mm-hmm. someone else should look at it and see that it makes sense.
Sure.
And that should
Like a backup check.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Is that through, is that based on staff or is that through the seat of board finance committee or something?
It should be staff. It should be staff. I don't know. The bylaws might say differently. I think the bylaws would be the determination. It should be more in turn because they're more of an outside.
That's what I would think.
So that's review of ledger entries. Is there a, what that probably wouldn't be in the bylaws in that way?
I don't believe so, but I'll go through and.
And we should spell this out too, right? We should put it in writing and adopt it.
Yes. You know, yep.
Kevin will initiate, Amanda will sign it, and however it's done, just so that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you, Chris.
Anything else? That's it.
Should we talk about what we talked about on the phone?
Let's, yeah, I'm in new business. That's kind of
okay. All right.
Addressing that. That's all right with you.
Yep.
I mean, certainly there are outstanding invoices that we have to pay and they're listed here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I need approval to pay Harris Peach invoices, approval to pay UHY, approval to pay Bonadio. Mm-hmm. Do we have, I think everyone has a copy of those.
Yes.
And I'd just like to emphasize again, that's why having a budget is going to be very important for us going into the new year. And that's something that, you know, we can all look at the next meeting.
So Harris Beach is at $3,384 for the total. That's past the previous outstanding and current total.
And that's just for the agreements for
the Black City East loan modification.
They should have broken it out by.
Yes.
Yeah.
East and West, I think, right? I didn't look at what you think.
What are they doing on the West?
Well, the West was
probably part of the modification. So.
Well, then is for $500. And Bonadio is really small, it's free.
9,500 or something?
Yeah, 9,550.
We discussing which one are we specifically discussing or looking at? Is there any queries on the particular invoices, on any particular invoice?
So do we have a total for Harris Beach?
It's right.
Several different invoices, right?
Yeah. So I was gonna, yeah, what is it that we're supposed to be paying the Harris Beach?
Okay. So
there's an invoice 8624 for $3,384.
Yep, let me find that one and see what the note is on it. This one. So is this August or September?
For Harris Beach?
August
6, 24.
Right, there's a lot of them. So, yes. Okay. So the ones that should be considered would be the master lease agreement. 4742 is the last four numbers of the invoice for 109.20. And for Tech City.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4744. So those are the two August ones. My apologies that I included all Harris Boys Barrage Beach invoices. Did not know these were not to be considered. So there's two out of the August, 4742 and 4744, to be considered for payment for August to Harris Beach.
And Brian, what are those due?
Due?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, upon receipt.
I would make a recommendation, if it's okay to the board, but I would like the bank to be able to see if you can put together a spreadsheet that shows total amounts paid to date and what's required under the contract.
They were supposed to supply, and you did that for early the contract.
I did that. Sam did that.
When did you start working for Harris?
Yeah. I did that spreadsheet.
Oh,
and it has been updated.
Or I don't know how long it's going to take to pay these invoices.
I mean, yeah, we need to declare what.
I've been an issue with these people since Clay. Yeah.
So I can't make the motion.
So. Yeah, so table this for the next month?
Motion.
Yeah.
You get a second?
I'll second.
Thanks. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
What about the other one?
Yeah, they're okay, right? UHY and
yeah.
Bonadio?
Yeah. So motion to approve the other two invoices.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't like it a lot.
So I'm sorry, who made the motion?
I did.
Thank you, Megan.
Okay, very good. So that's taken care of. Next, old business, M&T Bank of Apes, loan modification.
In terms of M&T, as I mentioned before, Gregory and myself were now authorized signers. At the last meeting, I recommended that we move $500,000 into two CDs, total of $1 million.
Yeah.
I only moved $500,000 in through a few months. That's, I'm thinking if we ramp up a revolving loan fund, there may be a great deal of demand and we need to have those funds available instead of having them tied up for 6 months. Nevertheless, I'm estimating in 3 months, we'll make about $70,000 based on moving it out of a money market into the CD account. So some revenue generation, but again, that's reserved for the revolving loan, but we can't use it for the operation.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. But, and there's your marketing.
There you go.
For next year.
And
mm-hmm.
plus some.
And our loan servicing program.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Perfect. So M&T is going to pay.
Right.
So to speak. Through interest.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Listen. Loan modification, we're still in negotiations with National Resources and their attorneys. We had a good meeting last week. The chairman was there, Joe was there, his representatives, and Jen was there as well as Amanda. I thought it was a good meeting, but nothing to really report that's substantial right now in terms of where we are with that. But I think we're making real good progress because certainly this ties into the budget in terms of our administrative fees and revenues, right? So more to come on that, and hopefully I'll have a proposal for the board by next meeting. So thank you.
And there's no other issues. Did any board member have questions around any of the old business? Hopefully we could move forward as a public comment. Okay, can I get a motion that we move into public comment? Or close this meeting so we can go into public comment.
No, I mean, public comment is part of the meeting. I don't think you need a motion to do that. Is there any public comment?
Is there any public comment?
Not by me.
What did she say?
No, no. There wasn't.
No,
no,
no, no, okay. Okay, so at this time, I'm going to ask go ahead.
I forgot to mention one thing. Joe Carter and National Resources would like to present, their project updates to the board and really talk about the corporation, because there's really been a lot of bad press about them. And I thought it'd be great to kind of hear about what the corporation is doing and what they're doing specifically at IPAR.
Yeah.
And you know, I have.
I would love to hear an update.
I mean, I have
what clients they got coming in and what's moving forward, because it seems like it's dragging on and.
We heard a lot of good things. We heard a lot of good things. I mean, while we were meeting there, this group from Detroit came in. And yeah, so that's why this whole question about strategy, budget, it kind of all ties into the work that, you know, we're hoping to do out at IPAR and support them. Got them.
Good.
All
right.
I was hoping you were saying that there was a meat processing outfit that was coming in and wanting to rent a
meat processing.
It's October.
All the things.
Help matter.
There's a new person on that came after public comment. I don't know if that matters.
All right. Hi, Allison. Could you just give us
Hi.
A
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Allison Fausner. I'm an associate with the law firm Cuddy and Fader. I'm actually just observing tonight on behalf of my colleague, Anthony Mirando. Our firm had submitted a brief letter to the county about several parcels in the Tech City campus. There's some issues, permissions with electrical work that was detailed in that correspondence that was delivered on October 9th. So was just sent by Anthony to observe the discussions tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Which is interesting. Your timing is quite interesting. Because at this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I will make that motion.
Thank you. Lindsay, could you just give us some background as to rationale?
Sure.
Thank you.
Second that motion.
Thank you.
To just give the legal background for going into executive sessions. Open meetings law is Article 7 of the Public Officers Law. Section 105 governs executive sessions. Public Officers Law Article 7 is the section of the law that governs meetings of public bodies. And my understanding, interrupt me if you want to further clarify or if I'm misspeaking, but my understanding is the reason that the chair is requesting a motion to go into executive session is to discuss the financial history of a particular corporation. And then this instance, it would be the financial history of IPARC 87 with regard to the outstanding notes and mortgages at the East and West campuses.
Correct.
So if you're going to make a motion to go into an executive session, you need to have that be the reasoning, unless you want to modify that.
I'm sorry, could you reiterate what the legal basis for the executive session is again, please? I didn't understand. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Hi, Comptroller. It's section 105 of the open meetings law, which is public officers law, article 7, subparagraph F, which states the medical, financial, credit, or employment history of a particular person or corporation. So in this instance, it'd be financial history of a particular corporation, which in this case would be IPARC 87.
And how will us on Zoom be notified that you're coming back into session?
I'll leave that to the Zoom operators.
You can put them in a waiting room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Being recommended to go into a waiting room.
Can you do that on Zoom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So before that happens, I made the motion.
Correct.
So we discuss the final, the finances of a particular corporation, IPARC 87.
Yep.
That was the reason for my motion to go into executive session.
Thank you.
And
I would also, if I could add at this time, Chair, the list the people who will be in executive session in this meeting.
Yep. Yes.
So the others that are present in the room or on the phone can be. Either leave the room or go in the waiting room. Thank you.
Yep. Yes, thanks. So a motion was made, seconded. The individuals who would like to have join us in executive session would be the board members, and those permitted to stay would be the county attorney's office, you see the president, vice president, if she was here, and you see the staff.
Specifically. Chair, if I could say the comptroller would like to remain. I think what you just said is those you name people that would like to remain. I understand I may not be able to remain, but I would like it to be reflected that I am requesting to remain. Thank you.
Is that keeping with the board? Is the board comfortable with that? And include the comptroller.
There is a confidentiality.
I would vote no to having anyone other than the folks that you mentioned. Attending the executive session.
Is it the pleasure of the board that we just use those individuals stated previously and not the controller? Some decision.
Well, I mean, we need to deliberate on the issue. I don't know if we need to be public with that until we see the issue and discuss it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for your request, Comptroller Gallagher. I think the board is in favor of having us meet first and then moving, advising the public accordingly.
I understand.
Thank you.
So we have to move them into the waiting.
Yes, so we have a motion and a second, and all are in favor.
Aye.
Thank you. And Fran, I believe that you are Sam.
So we stop including you.